Blind Cool Tech 61, July 29, 05. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Well, we're about to head off for work, and hope you'll join us this morning for another walk. I always enjoy having you along. My computer, I had to restarted this one in the basement here, and I don't have it talking on the log-on screen, so I think I'm just going to shut it off till I get home tonight, because I can't seem to log on. Oh, it was off is why. Okay. No wonder it was so quiet down here. So, talking about this computer, we're going to chat a little bit and tell you about some more podcasts that I found, answer some voicemails, and talk about the book port. Actually, the voicemails had some good questions on them, and I'll go ahead and answer them now or on the way to work and then play them for you when we get there. We're leaving a little early this morning, so there shouldn't be much traffic noise. Finish my coffee here. Oh yeah, I need to grab something for lunch. Let me get one of these frozen, bought these pork sandwiches from Wines. Oh, I started to mention to you, I'm recording this on the Arcos with the Arcos microphone, amplified of course, and the thing about this is that I think it's actually brighter than the iRiver, and I'd like to test that out this morning. Got my backpack. Let's see if we can do something different with these earphones. All right, little buddy, are you ready? Another thing I want to talk with y'all about today, too, is a little more about the guide dog. Grab the harness off the closet door there. The harness and the leash. Put him. Harness on Jake, man. My little bud. And the leash. Buckle up the harness. Give Jake a old pat on the, a rub on the chin and a pat on the head, because he's a good dog.
Alright.
Me kissing Jake like that reminds me. I hope no one will take offense to this, but got a email the other day. Oh, it's nice and cool. Okay, I'm also going to try and stop my snorting and sniffing and coughing in the microphone. Got an email the other day with the jokes on it about, I better not say that. This is a tame podcast, and even though that's pretty tame, let me think about it, I might tell you. Oh yeah, today is recycling day. Good boy. And I didn't have enough really to put out to recycle, so I'm not going to do that. Take my book port off my collar in case it's touching that microphone. Alright, we can go, little buddy. Another thing I need to tell you guys, too, is I think that when I'm talking to you and walking with Jake, he's either thinking I'm talking to him, and that's what I'm going to assume while we're walking. So if you hear me change my pitch of my voice to say, good boy, like that when he just took me under the branches, I might say, you just took me under the branches. Yeah. So, good boy. So don't have me committed as you listen to this. So anyway, yeah, talking about these computers in my, you know, my basement. One's so noisy, I'd love to be able to record down there. But thought of an idea. I was talking to Liz because she uses that media center computer the most. But the bad thing is she has to stand up. I think I mentioned that it's in an entertainment center that's about 5 foot high, maybe. Yeah, 5 foot high. Crossing Grinstead, and a car just turned in front of us, which is not really that unusual. Drivers are very aggressive these days. So anyway, she was saying or suggesting what I should do is move that media center computer downstairs, and she would just use a laptop with a wireless connection. So I thought, well, that'd be kind of cool. But what would even be, yeah. What would even be cooler is to maybe think about one of these Apple PowerBooks. As, asked her if she'd be willing to consider a Mac. Because I'd kind of like to explore that a little more myself with the voiceover. And, you know, that's all. I'm sure all of you already know that is built into the Tiger operating system for the Mac. All you have to do to get it started is just hit, I believe it's Command F5 maybe. And any Mac around, you know, running Tiger at least, and that has some speakers, will be accessible. I just heard this bell and it... Well, there I go coughing. That didn't last long. It reminds me that... let's see, that little guy. These railroad crossings here have done an interesting thing. They have taken the real clanging bells and replace them with electronic bells. So when the gate goes down, you know, instead of the ding ding ding, ding bells, you get these electronic ones. And I noticed, like the first time I heard it, they're not nearly as attention grabbing. Nor as loud, I guess, as the clanging ones were. There's a huge orphanage to our right here, across the street. Sits back from the railroad tracks. And, yeah.
Morning.
Good morning, how are you? And they have a picnic every year, and they're going to have that next weekend. Fried chicken, and well, it's a big deal. People come from all over town, probably all over the state. Carnival set up out there, you know. So anyway, looking at this idea of using a power mag just as a, you know, a computer to have around the house. I really would like to kind of play with one. I mean, I've got one at work with VoiceOver on it, so I'm familiar already with the interface, but you know, it's not like you could just use it all the time. A lot of times there at work, I don't really have time to investigate all the things I need to, much less extra things. That actually is one I did need to investigate, and I did very actively. We'll have to have a long chat about that at some point. So I got some emails and some voicemails for the show. The podcast, I should say. I'm hearing from people I hadn't heard from in years. It's kind of neat having you guys along. I feel like I'm talking to my friends. And hey, you know, I know this show, this podcast is not top production quality. I was listening last night to several blindness associated, or podcasts associated with blindness. And it was, one of them was Byron Lee, and I mean, you know, he pretty much said it like it is with this podcasting. It's people get on there like me and just cough and, well, I try not to say nothing, but that may be a matter of opinion. Yeah, you're a good boy. And the production quality was great on that. He did say he was an audio engineer. And I got an email from a guy up in Newfoundland, I think might be how you pronounce it. So, you know, we left about 15, 20 minutes early, and the difference in the traffic is amazing. This is nice. It's like walking along a country road with sidewalks. So, John Fiddler was his name, is his name. And he said he just discovered the podcast a few days ago and was telling me he had one too. And I haven't seen his listed on any of these blindness podcast lists. In fact, that's where I found, well, I found Daryl Shandro's, I think that one's called Access Journal. Accessjournal.com, maybe, be the website. But, well, that one wasn't as high a production as the point I'm trying to make. Good morning. The production quality of this Byron Lee and this John Fiddler, Fiddler, it was phenomenal. This John's a very talented musician and audio engineer. So thanks for the email and thanks for the podcast too. I'm liking it. You know, as I was tossing around, you know, what I wanted to tell you guys this morning, one of them was where I found this list, because it was really the most comprehensive list of blind-related podcasts that I've seen, I guess. I mean, there was even one there from a ophthalmology department providing the at some hospital or university, I don't even remember. Hadn't listened to any of them yet, just kind of listened to the intro. So they, and there seems to be quite a few of them. Nice high production quality. But anyway, this list one of the things I wanted to remember to tell you was where I found this, but I don't have that address. I'll put it in the show notes. So, of course, Jeff Bishop's podcast was up there. Desert Skies podcast. And Marlena's. Hey. But, you know, some of the production quality is, it's impressive. Very impressive. And I certainly wouldn't mind doing some cool things with my show, too. And one of them I thought that could do with some... Good morning. With some software pretty easily is, you know, I'd like to... You know, I think you know, I'd like to have the... In the perfect world, I would just like to not cut out any part of a podcast. I mean, in some cases.
Yeah, that's really good. I think you'll be really happy with
that. But when I do, I would like, you know, to have some kind of sound and maybe a speech synthesizer, or we could even fix that to do some human speech. Let's say, you know, 38 seconds later, 4 hours later, you know, what it would do is just measure the time from the beginning to the end of the selection before you delete and insert that information in audio at the deletion point. And I guess I might have to look at, well, I've thought about looking at some, you know, some kind of music. Some kind of identifying theme, but I thought it'd be really cool if I could play it or find some other person who is blind. But I'm going to have to practice up on my guitar before I do anything. I mean, I don't want to just throw out any kind of canned sound that you might find in these libraries. There goes the guy on the bike. So, we got to two voicemails with questions about the bookport. And Mickey Quinsger asks, as you will hear in a momento, what's the difference between the bookport and the book courier? Good question. And I'm really glad you brought that up. We should have explained that somewhere along the lines. And, well, actually we do in the bookport manual, which you can get online at APH even before you decide that you wish to purchase a bookport. You can read about it, or actually I think most of if not all of our software products are that way. You can download a demo in most cases and read through the manual, so it gives you a good way to test it out before you decide anything. But where we were going with this, let's see, hold on just a sec. Rearrange something here. And something rubbing on my leg in my pocket. Yeah, it is nice and cool this morning. In fact, the first thing I was going to do when I got home yesterday was to mow the lawn, take advantage of how cool it was. And so now I just have to hope it's cool on Friday. It's we wanted to go to Sam's last night again. We need to pick up some things. And, man, I wish I had a podcast of that, because I got an email from a guy in the UK, and I never thought about this, but it's so true. It was, you know, he says it was really interesting for him to see the different things available in the U.S. Now, you know, he may have been referring to reviews of electronic devices or whatever, but, you know, this is one aspect of that, and personally, I'd like to see a sound-seeing tour in a little shop in England, you know, just to see what the differences are. But last night at Sam's, I don't know if the stars were lined up or Liz was just in an exceptionally good humor, or maybe just because I asked her. You know, sometimes when we go through there, I love to just have her say what we're going past. And, there's all kinds of stuff. Sam's is always fun to go through because it's always something different in there, too. I was telling her last night I'm fixated on something she showed me there a few months ago. And what this was a chess set for your yard. So it wasn't made out of stone. It was probably fiberglass, but it had each square was, maybe 2 foot in diameter. And they were each a separate piece, white ones and black ones, and you laid them out on your lawn. And then there was big chess pieces too. So that was pretty cool. Okay. Good boy. We're crossing Clifton. Boy, one other thing I noticed too is that when I'm talking with you guys, it's easy for me to lose, kind of, I won't say lose my orientation, but not know exactly where I'm at, you know, which block. So I look for landmarks. I know where I am now. I like to know exactly where I'm at, where I am when I get when I get close to this track up here. So, back on this Byron Lee, and one I even forgot to mention too was Blind Kiss. This is a couple, David Rose and Sarah Morgan. And you know, isn't Sarah Morgan the one that wrote these tutorials? A lot of good tutorials. I'm not sure if it's the same lady or not. I've only listened to one of their podcasts. And it was good. Very well produced as well. But she never did mention if she was the same lady or not. And I'm not even sure that's the name of the... It just sounds familiar. Oh, and what I was saying a minute ago, you know, when I'm talking to you and I lose maybe my exact location, I can see how that would be very similar if you were engrossed in a conversation on a cell phone in your car. You know, and even if it is see, that's how bad off I was. That was actually Ewing back there. Not Clifton. Ooh. Gotta pay better attention. But anyway, same thing, you know, when you're in a car driving. Of course, you have your visual clues to... You won't face the situation I just did there where I lost track of where I was. But what you will do, you're not devoting your attention to operating that vehicle. So, you know, and like I say, the hands-free part of it doesn't alleviate that problem. So I can see where that's an issue. Okay. So Byron Lee is talking about, like I said, giving a good definition of podcasting, saying that anyone can do it. And, you know, he made me feel guilty because that's what I'm doing. I'm, you know, you hear me coughing. I'm not proud of that. I just, you know, I think this part of the appeal of a podcast like this is, you know, the rawness of it. Now, I could be totally wrong. And, you know, maybe there's, well, obviously there is different styles for different, you know, different production requirements for different kinds of styles. But, you know, this guy, this Byron was on here talking about, just talking about nothing, essentially. And so, yeah, I think we touched on that a little earlier. I'm going to try not to repeat myself too much. I'm not crazy about repeating myself or hearing the same things over and over again, which is one reason why I hate to, you know, I need to express the fact. Hey there. How you doing? Good. Another guide dog there. I hate doing these things where you've got this set format, you know, like even giving out all the information. I probably just need to can that stuff. But the thing is true listening to it too. But you do have to give it somewhere. But anyway, I need to get a statement pre-canned, you know, which essentially would say, the opinions and views expressed in this podcast in no way represent the opinions, views, attitudes, beliefs, or dreams of the American Printing House for the Blind. And no product represented in these audio material, this audio material, represents any endorsement from American Printing House for Blood. I mean, I think we need, obviously, we need to make it professional, and I just don't want to have to say it every time. It introduces drudgery. And there's a way we can automate it, we will do so. And there is. Okay, that time. Yes, sir, that time. We were crossing Clifton Avenue. Okay. Back to the book port and the differences between the book port and the book courier. So as I was mentioning, Appendix C. Hey,
hello.
How you doing? Gorgeous out this morning, isn't it? Appendix C has a list of frequently asked questions, and that's one of them. But it's probably better to talk about it. And what I'll do too is get Steve Gomez, who is the designer and owner of the company that actually makes the hardware for both of these devices. And, you know, we'll just both talk about it. I will tell you, you know, right now, a lot of the differences and a lot of the similarities. Both the devices obviously are manufactured by Springer Design. And what the difference is that APH recognized that, you know, early in its development cycle, you know, even back in the Roadrunner days, that this was a valuable tool, and the hardware did everything we wanted, but the software, you know, we had our own ideas about a user interface that would maximize flexibility and accessibility and do some special things that, you know, nobody but a blind person really would want to do with it. So originally the target audience for the book Courier was actually the learning disabled. And we contracted, we being APH, with Springer Design to write firmware, which is the software that runs on the device, to our specifications. And that's where the real big difference is. The keyboard is a little different. The Book Courier has, the 5 is a larger key than the rest, and it's concave and a different shape than the rest of the keys. And then there's 3 keys along the bottom instead of 6 like ours, and these are separated. So it's got nice, you know, nice ergonomics for the tactile aspect of maneuvering around on that device. But as we were early on in the development of both these devices, we recognized that one of the things we wanted the book port to be able to do, good morning, is to take notes in Braille. So we wanted 16 keys in 3 rows. So if you're not familiar with how that works, normally the book port is oriented like a telephone. There's 3 columns of keys across and then 6 down, and the first 4 are just like a telephone, and then the 5th one has A, B, and C on it, and the 6th one has D, E, and F. We're going to cross Frankfort Avenue here at Bel Air. Yeah, it's a good dog. So, the hardware is a little different, but the book port, like I say, you know, is normally you operate it like a telephone keypad, but when you want to take a note or use the note taker or search for material in a book with a Braille keyboard to type in your searches, you turn the device 90 degrees clockwise. So now your keyboard is set up to have 6 columns and 3 rows. And that top row, the one furthest away from you, represents the 6 dots on a traditional Braille writer keyboard. And then on the bottom row, the 2 middle keys are the space bar. So I'm not going to go into all the details of the rest of the keys or anything when you're in the Braille keyboard layout, but that was one of the things that we knew from day one that we wanted to put on this device. We weren't able to ship the original version with the note taker because the software development on it wasn't complete at that time. Fortunately, we have a very seamless update process. So even if you purchased one early on, you know, it's easy to update it to add the note taker feature to it. So anyway, that's why we wanted to keep the key is a uniform shape. So, because, you know, we wanted to be able to use this thing in two different directions. So that's essentially the hardware differences. The keyboard layout and arrangement. Everything else is pretty much the same. It's the case size is exactly the same. Well, everything. So the real difference, though, is in the firmware. So, you know, I already mentioned the note takers part of the firmware. You know, from day one, we had this device supporting BRF files, which are electronic files that are translated into contracted Braille. And, you know, we have features in there that a blind person would use more than an LD person would. For instance, in the BookPort firmware, you can actually just move from character to character. And I don't believe that's in the Book Courier. You know, you can spell a word. And, you know, just, I won't say hundreds, but probably dozens of differences like that. You know, one of our primary focuses getting this software out, this has been a couple years ago already, was sorry, I got distracted there a minute. What was I saying? One of our primary focuses a couple of years ago was... Oh, I hate it when that happens. It'll come back to me when I'm telling you about something else, I'm sure. So, the software that runs on the BookPort, the firmware, is totally different, making the interface... totally different as well. Now, the software that runs on the PC is also different. We think we're pretty darn good at writing accessible... what's the word I'm looking for? Elegant, maybe? Yeah, elegant software that does what you think it should do, even if you're not sure how to do it. And you know what I mean by that. Looks like there's a Tark minivan here. These are these, Tark 3 is a ride system you can set up. And they'll come pick you up at your house at a designated time. I've never actually set anything up like that. Sounds, good boy. I've heard a lot of people having issues with it. Okay, we're coming in the side door by the cafeteria. We typed in our code. So yeah, the software on the PC is very, very different as well. Okay, so instead of going up a half flight of stairs to the main level, our detour brings us downstairs into the basement. Through a door and to the left is the studios, and to the right, if you were on the tour, you know, this is down here where the old safe was. There's some exposed walls. It's very basement-y. You can hear machines running here. It's neat, though. It's clean and big. So the software is got features in it, too.
Whoops.
Hi there. Good boy, Jakey. Turned off at the right spot, didn't you? So that's amazing how you can show a dog, especially a highly intelligent, refined animal like Mr. Jake there, you know, a turn in a, well, essentially a quarter mile long hallway, and he'll show it to you, because he's a good doggy. So one of the things that Scott Rutkowski wanted to know is what file types were supported with the book port. And those would be plain text files, of course. And if you have Word 97 or later, we actually use some of the resources in Word. You can send over doc and RTF files. Going up these two flights of stairs here and into our big room. I'm probably the first one here this morning. What time is it? Hey. What's up, fellows? I thought somebody was here. Well, I can tell Mario wasn't here yesterday or this morning because the air conditioner set very cool, and he usually gets kind of chilly in the morning. I took off Jake's harness this morning. I don't think we have any meetings or anything, so I'm just going to let him relax. Get my computer fired up and my coffee. Oh, it was still on. Oh, that's right, I was uploading something when I left yesterday. So, other file types are HTML, which you can send from directly from Internet Explorer. You can send DAISY, digital talking books, and this might be the only device that supports all these different kinds of books. Oh, I even have to turn the coffee pot on this morning. I am first. Usually Mario gets here about, have you got water, little buddy? He gets here really early. You do need some water, don't you? Like 6:30. Then he leaves probably around 3:30. And whenever Tark is here to pick him up, he lives, I don't know if you'd call it the edge of town, but good ways out. So we have BRF and BRL file support as well, which are translated or files that are contracted Braille. So we have a reverse translator built into the software on the PC. That's some heavy-duty drinking. And we have support for, these different kinds of DAISY. We have the 2.x audio, which is what's available from CNIB and RFBND, including the protection scheme that RFBND employs. And we did a podcast about that a couple of weeks ago. Or no, it hadn't been that long. Just a few days ago. It's called Reading RFBND Books on Bookport. Nice original name. It also supports DAISY 3.x, audio or text books. So these are the kind of books like our Verbal View series here that we do. We've got a tutorial that's a DAISY 3 full text, full audio tutorial of XP, and we're doing one of Word and Advanced Word, which will be coming out very shortly, and a few more in the works. But those, Library of Congress is, you know, that's what their new digital talking books are formatted in, that, you know, they like to refer to it, and I guess really the more accurate way to refer to it is ANSI NISO Z3986, and now the 2005 revision. So it supports those. It also supports the digital talking book text version of a digital talking book, and those are ones like you can get from Bookshare.org, which we need to do a podcast of a demo of, you know, a lot of the aspects of Bookshare.org and the incredible navigation capabilities in the periodicals and the technical books that are, you know, they're well-formed digital talking books. Now, the ones that people have just scanned in, for the most part, you know, there's not really a big advantage to using those in a DTB format, you know, because there's no enhanced navigation or anything. They're just sort of the lowest form of a DTB, which, you know, I've actually thought, too, what we could do with these podcasts, you know, we could automate a process to turn this into a DTB, but there's probably not, you know, I don't have this structured enough to have it where you can navigate from article to article. I tend to ramble a bit, and I realize that, and jump back and forth from subject to subject. So other file formats would be, we don't do PDF yet. We do audible.com, and we're actually able to compress the rate of speech on Audible files. That, you know, going and signing up for Audible and showing you how to use Audible Manager in conjunction with the Bookport is another podcast that's going to be coming soon. See, we also support, of course, regular MP3 files, WAV files, which we do convert to MP3 before we send them to the device. What else? I'm sure I'm missing one. But I think that's the gist of it. So a lot of file formats. You know, if you have a word processor, chances are you can save the files to a text file. And, you know, we did have a voicemail. Well, this was Scott actually suggesting that it would be very cool to, you know, copy a document onto the clipboard and paste it.
Hey there.
What's up, Raj?
Oh, not much.
Isn't it nice out this morning?
Very nice.
This coffee might actually be done. The coffee pot, it's not. It jumps around for about 20 minutes after it's done. And then pasting it, you know, right in as a document on the Bookport, and that'd be great for, you know, capturing emails and just anything. Okay, that's going to wrap it up.
Yeah, g'day Larry, it's Scott from Sydney, Australia here. Just want to say how much I enjoyed Blind Cool Tech. Absolutely fantastic show. Really like the content. Just had a question on the Bookport, though. I'm just wondering, with the Bookport, I'm just curious to know if you could briefly outline the formats that the Bookport reads. I've been looking for a device like the Bookport for scanning, or not scanning, but reading text files, that sort of thing. Also, what's the amount of internal memory in the Bookport, and what's the biggest card you can buy for the Bookport? Another question regarding the Bookport is, when you plug it into the PC on the USB port, is there a way of not having the transfer software come up straight away if you don't want it to, if you just want to start it manually yourself?
Yeah, those are good points. The Bookport is beginning to ship with 256 megabyte flashcards. The internal memory is very small, but everything gets stored on that flashcard that comes with it. So you can put up to a 2 gigabyte card in it. So we're working actually on some firmware updates that will allow you to put more than 2 gigabytes.
That'd be kind of nice if it just wouldn't pop up. The other thing as well, it'd be cool if you could possibly cut and paste files in Windows Explorer.
Yeah, we talked about that. But as far as turning it off so that it doesn't come up when the when you plug the Bookport in, that's actually very easy to do on this and a lot of other programs. Because there's a little application, and please, if, you know, other of you who are listening to this that are not really that familiar with your computer, don't mess with what I'm about to tell you. But, Scott, what you can do is go to your Start menu, Programs, and Startup, and there'll be a little application in there called Bookport Launcher. And you can right-click on that, do Properties, and then you can check the Hidden box and do OK, of course, to commit your changes. And that'll actually prevent, you know, if you hide a file that's in the startup, that'll keep Windows from loading it, yet it'll leave it there so that, you know, you don't forget about it and it's in its right place and everything. So, yep, that's the way to do that.
And just have the text files in that way. I guess that can't be done because you've actually got to use the transfer tool so the Bookport knows what files they are, etc., etc.
In general, that's the case. You can send files to the notes folder. You can either just copy them over there, treat the Bookport like a drive, or select the notes folder in the Bookport transfer and send them over there. And those will be standard text files. You can even edit them, do whatever you want to with them, even keep them synchronized with the file on your PC.
So yeah, if you could let us know, that'd be great. And I'm looking at buying a Bookport quite seriously there, Larry. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Here's our next email, voicemail.
Hey, Larry, this is Mickey Quinzer. I just want to say, really appreciate your Blind Cool Tech. I had a question for you. You mentioned this NeoSpeech. Is that available, and where is that available? This is when you were talking about the, this is on your latest broadcast, talking about the Senseo machine.
I'm going to have to get that information for you, Mickey. I'm not sure I'm going to have time to do it this morning, but we'll present that very soon.
I guess because Adam Curry brought that up, and it's a big thing for him. But it sounded like an interesting coffee machine. And the other question is, I really would like to know the difference between the Bookport and the Book Courier. Because they're both, you know, they both sound the same. They've got the same speech. They have some functionality that's the same. Basically, give us some good reasons why we might want to buy the Bookport instead of the Book Courier, if there are, and if, you know, because I'm kind of curious to understand really why they sound like the same device really. So I know I'm don't know what the full explanation of that is, and if you could help out, that'd really be great. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Mickey, and I think we covered that fairly thoroughly. That's going to do it for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for number 61. If you would like to leave an audio comment that we'll play on the podcast, you may call 206-984-9203. You can email us with the address blindcooltech@gmail.com, or you can check out our website at aph.org/tech/bct.htm. Y'all have a great one, and we'll see you next time.